Good afternoon or good evening, everyone. This is Ken Hodge with another Postal Podcast. Sometimes adversity in life forces us to do additional research and to actually gain a better insight into some of the constitutional issues that confront us. In this case, or on this podcast today, I'm going to talk to you today about Article 10 in the Uniform Local Union Constitution. Now, again, before I even begin to go into Article 10, you have to be aware that there is a national constitution and a uniform local. If you look on the 304 webpage, that's the wrong constitution under the correct heading. But nonetheless, in order to follow what I'm saying, you're going to have a copy of the Uniform Local Union Constitution. And if you have that constitution, if you go to Article 10, it's on page 49. Article 10 is titled Charges, Trials, and Appeals. Now, the reason I'm going to podcast on Article 10 is because Article 10 is an issue that I'm currently faced with right now. But I don't want to make this solely about my issue. I want to instead make it about sharing contractual knowledge with members, because unless we had an Article 10 violation, let's be for real, we probably never even look at Article 10. So let's use this opportunity, as my brother Carl Sharp likes to say, a ATM, another teaching moment. Article 10, Section 1, it reads as follows. An officer or member in good standing may prefer charges against any officer or member in this local union, but no later than 30 days from the alleged date of the violation occurred, became known, or reasonably should have been become known. By filing written charges in duplicate with the recording secretary of this local union, by registered, certified, or express mail through the U.S. Postal Service, these charges must be signed by the person preferring the charges and indicate the provision of the Constitution to be relied upon, or the agreement or the rule against, or the agreement or rule alleged to have been violated. It must set forth the specific violations or wrong charge and the date in which it's allegedly occurred. In addition, the charges may set forth the remedy or corrective action being requested by the person preferring the charges. Now, again, that part of Article 10, Section 1, tells you that any person can file charges. And again, the personnel in Local 304 have exercised their rights under Article 10, Section 1, and have filed charges against me. But now it gets interesting. Article 10, Section 2. The recording secretary shall promptly notify the members of the executive board that charges have been filed. In addition, the recording secretary shall notify the accused or charged parties of the charges by certified mail, return receipt requested, after which the accused or charged parties shall have 30 days after receipt. Remember that, very important. After receipt of the charges, to respond to the recording secretary in writing on whether the charges are frivolous or procedurally defective. This notification must include a copy of the charges and must be mailed to the accused or charged parties at their last known address. So, Section 1 says you have a right to file charges against me. Section 2 says you send those charges to the recording secretary. The recording secretary then notifies the charged party And then the charge party has 30 days from the time that they received notice of the charges. Well, I want to stop right there before I read the rest of this, because again, I'm using my actual case as we explore Article 10. So in my actual case, the recording secretary sent me a certified letter. And again, I never received the 3849, which is a letter
that little orange paper that they leave in your mailbox
document, or I misplaced my 3849. Let's go either way, doesn't matter. Bottom line is, because I never received that certified letter, again, as per the union, I received certified notice, but I never received the certified letter. So therefore, the 30-day clock on me not responding, I don't even understand how that clock starts. And I really don't want to sound too confusing, because what I'm really trying to say is the union tried to send me a letter. I never received the letter, and they accepted that letter as they accepted my no response as a response and went into a trial proceeding. Next paragraph. After the accused or charged parties have had the opportunity to respond. So the fact that you sent me a certified letter that got returned to you, I'm pretty sure you're supposed to make another attempt. But after the accused or charged parties have had the opportunity to respond, the executive board shall consult and by majority vote may dismiss the charges if it is determined them to be frivolous or procedurally defective. So again, even though they started the clock as far as the time on the timeline, they can have a meeting, the executive board, to determine if the charges are frivolous. Now, any member of executive board who is charged may not participate in this consultation. If all members of the executive board are charged, the recording secretary, having already notified the members of the executive board about the charges and having already given the accused or charged party an opportunity to respond to the charges, shall notify the national president, who shall appoint within 30 days, as set forth in the second paragraph of section 3 of this article, 3 members from outside the local union as the trial board. Now, again, I don't make any bones about the fact that since I've decided to challenge for a position, most of the executive board support the local president blindly. Doesn't matter right or wrong. So because I have that perception of a lot of the board members, I feel it's always going to be not in my best interest if any of that executive board, local board members, have the opportunity to make a decision pertaining to Ken Hodge. I make no secrets about that. And to the local executive board, I know that statement might have been hard, but I really mean no disrespect. I'm simply pointing out that most of you have been with the current local president for a lot of years, a lot of number of years. And sometimes when you are that close to an individual, we can't see the forest for the trees. So again, I from my bottom of my heart, I mean no disrespect when I say you follow some of that leadership blindly. I'm simply pointing out that you've been with him for a while. And again, I'm bringing a brand new breeze to the local. I'm that new outside guy coming in, trying to adjust and make changes. So I understand on some other level why your commitment to the local president is what it is. But I guarantee you that if you really just took a moment and look at what these issues are, listen to some of my podcasts. Again, I make statements. I'm not anti-union. I'm pro-union. I'm super pro-union. And I want to make our union stronger and better. But again, I'm constantly being faced right now with opposition. And again, I guess it's expected. My little rant right now is just to let the executive board know, it's not all of you that I speak of. So I do say a great number, but there are some of you on the executive board that if the local president said we're voting XYZ without having researched or done any information, because you follow the local president, you're going to vote with him, and that's all I was trying to say. So let me just get back again as I close the podcast out to Article 10, Section 2. The last paragraph in there is what really shows the lack of procedural correctness when it comes to
making sure I'm not a candidate
by Local 304. When a hearing and trial are necessary. So here's my understanding. The local board has a meeting. At that meeting, they decide one of two things. Is it frivolous or does it have merit? If it's frivolous, they can throw it out. If it has merit, then they have to set a trial up and we go through the process. Again, that's my understanding. And if anyone hears this podcast and can correct that, please do. Because if my understanding is wrong and I need to be corrected, again, I stand to be corrected. But when a hearing and trial are necessary, a copy of the charges shall be mailed to the accused at his or her last known address. A written notice of the time and place where the hearing and trial will take place before the trial board shall be mailed to the accused and to the charging party, not less than 14 days, nor more than 28 days from the date of the said hearing and trial. So again, my understanding, because if you listen to Local 304, a lot of the headquarter elements, I have no understanding, but my understanding is if the recording board has a meeting, they decide charge has merits, they then decide we're going to have a trial, they set that trial up, I'm notified, anybody else is notified. Now let me tell you what
the actions of Local 304 trial boards were.
Apparently charges were sent. I'm just recapping now as I begin to bring this podcast to a close. Apparently charges were filed by two members out of Dayton, Ohio. Those charges were received by the recording secretary. The recording secretary then turned around and notified or sent me a certified letter of those charges. I never received the certified letter, but we're going to keep going. After me not receiving the certified letter, the local executive board again had a meeting, and at that meeting they decided, and again there was only two possible outcomes of that meeting as per the Constitution, and that was one, is it frivolous? Two, does it have merit? But at the meeting they decided the charges had merit. Now, instead of then notifying me, the accused, and the accusers that there's going to be a trial board with a date set up, the local executive board decided that they're going to render their own decision here now, one-stop shopping. We're going to bypass or forego our Constitution because we want this done to Mr. Hodge and we want it done now. So they bypass setting up a trial, have a trial, make a decision, validate their decision, and think that their decision is final. I'm here to tell you that is not in line with our Constitution, and I hope that we can get that overturned.
So I have to ask you, who really violated the Uniform Local Union Constitution, and who really should be facing charges? Hey, listen, that's my podcast for today, but I also want to say that most of my comments are slowly but surely moving 100% to my webpage, 180 degrees, new direction. Again, that's my page, that's my voice. Again, you want to join, send me an invitation, but I'm going to disappear from most of the other websites or Facebook pages and concentrate on my message on my page. 180 degree new direction. It's a page, again, not just about me. It's about Columbus, Ohio. But because it's my page, I'm going to have a lot of articles about what I go through. But 180 degrees, it's a new type of Facebook page.
It's not a mail handler page. It's not a clerk page. It's a everybody page. If you work in Columbus, Ohio, 180 Degree, that's the page you want to go to find out up-to-date current events, issues that are not made public. That's where you want to go. 180 Degrees New Direction webpage on Facebook. Send me an invitation and welcome to the page.